You're listening to the Sabina Road Baptist Sermon Series. We hope this message greatly impacts your life. For more information on the mission and ministries of Sabina Road Baptist Church in Tucson, Arizona, visit us online at sabinaroad.org.
Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 4. And Tim, I'm short, but I'm not that short. I mean, come on, give me a break, guys. I get it. Acts chapter 4, looking at verses 8 through 22. The title of today's message is Lion-Hearted Courage. We've been going through Wizard of Oz evangelism. I know that may sound strange to you if you haven't been here the last several weeks, but we've talked about several characters from the Wizard of Oz and how different characteristics can help point us to characteristics believers should have when sharing their faith. We talked about the Tin Man, and we know the Tin Man needed a what, church? He needed a heart. And so believers, we need a heart of compassion. And we know the Scarecrow needed a what, church? He needed a brain, right? And so as believers, we need to engage the mind when sharing our faith. And now we have the cowardly lion. And the lion needed what, church?
Courage.
Lion needed courage. That's correct. Courage and bravery are often misunderstood in our culture today. Now, I feel like maybe I was hard on sports guys last week, and it's going to sound like I'm being hard on them again this week, but there's nothing courageous about playing a basketball game. I don't care how good you are and how tough you are. There's nothing courageous about a football game or a basketball game or competing in a sports event. It's not courageous to celebrate a lifestyle that everybody else is celebrating, friends. That's not courage. Our culture is very confused about what real courage and bravery is about. You know, it's hard to be courageous sometimes. It's hard to be brave sometimes. Sharing the gospel, evangelizing, inviting your friends to church, it takes guts and it takes grit. Believers must be bold in sharing their faith. And since we have a longer passage, I'll read that when we get to the points. But before we do that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for today. Lord, thank you for this time of celebrating you, celebrating what you've done, celebrating those who have joined us, celebrating those who have come to know you as their Savior and gotten baptized. And Lord, we pray that you will speak to us during this time of worshiping you through the Word. Holy Spirit, meet with us today. We love you, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So before we get into the passage specifically, I want to make sure we get a little background in verses 1 through 7, and so we'll kind of move through that quickly just because it's sort of a longer passage. But to understand our passage, we need to kind of grasp what's happening beforehand. So Peter and John were in the temple. This is in the book of Acts. So Jesus has come and gone in the physical presence. And so the Acts of the Apostles is we see the Holy Spirit working through them in the beginning of the church. So Peter and John were in the temple, and they healed a crippled beggar, and then they began preaching. And then the Sadducees and the priest and the captain of the temple were upset with Peter and John for preaching. They were greatly annoyed. Not much has changed. People in our culture are greatly annoyed when we preach the name of Jesus Christ. And they had them arrested, but they couldn't try them until the morning. This was Jewish law, so you couldn't legally try them until the morning. And so Annas, who is sort of like the godfather in this situation, was the former high priest. And then there's Caiaphas, who is the current high priest, and they're involved in getting these men arrested. You have to understand, remember, these high priests, these were the ones that were instrumental in having Jesus Christ arrested and crucified. So these guys are not, their bark is as bad as their bite. They are dangerous foes. And that kind of catches us up with where we're at in our passage today. So look with me in Acts chapter 4, and we'll begin in verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed? Let it be known to all of you, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated common men, they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. But seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. But when they had commanded them to leave the council, they conferred with one another, saying, "What shall we do with these men? For that is a notable sign that has been performed through them and is evident to all inhabitants of Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But in order that they may spread no further among the people, let us warn them, speak no more to anyone in his name." So they called him and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. But we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard." When they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people, for all were praising God for what had happened. So the man on whom this sign of healing was performed was more than 40 years old. Point number one is that we as believers must share without compromise. See, Scripture is filled with men and women who acted bravely. It's also filled with men and women that acted cowardly, with no spine. And many times, these people are the same people. We see Peter and John, and Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, defying anybody to stop him from preaching the name of Jesus Christ, was the same Peter that was cowed by a little girl before the crucifixion of Christ. All sorts of men of God and women of God had ups and downs, moments of weakness and moments of strength. But particularly we see in verse 8, Peter is filled with the Holy Spirit and he proclaims Christ. And then Peter, who was technically on trial, puts them on trial. He says, "You are the guys that crucified Jesus. You are the ones that stand guilty, not me." Now Peter could have had a cop out. He could have said, "You know what? You're right. God healed them." And you know what? They would have been fine with that. They could have been fine with saying God healed them and would have been partially true, right? But no, Peter stood on the name of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 12. He says, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." See, Peter unreservedly proclaimed that salvation comes through Jesus Christ alone. The name of Jesus is his power and his authority, a name which was about to become illegal in Jerusalem. Brothers and sisters, Jesus is the only way to be saved. There is salvation in no one else. To say that Jesus Christ is the only way is a denial of all universalism, that everybody is going to get there sooner or later if we just keep trying. To believe in Jesus Christ is to believe in the exclusivity of Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ and Christ alone is the way of salvation for men to be right with a holy God. You see, truth is exclusive by nature. It's not bigoted. It's not small-minded to say that Phoenix is north of Tucson, right? It's not bigoted. It's not small-minded to say that 2 plus 2 equals 4. Now, in my opinion, Tucson is better than Phoenix, but that's not a fact that's verifiable, right? That's what I'm a big fan of. When it comes to morality, all of a sudden, truth becomes ambiguous. Oh, well, yeah, I mean, it may be right for you, but it's not right for me. Friends, the Bible says that truth is exclusive. And not exclusive that only certain people can get to it, because the gospel is for all people. But the Bible, as clearly as it can say, is that salvation comes in no other person than Jesus Christ. And we cannot compromise this truth. Look at verse 13. It says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus." See, the religious leaders recognized these uneducated common men had been with Jesus. Now, I've heard in kind of Bible studies and songs, and they were like, "Hey, man, these guys had been with Jesus." And we kind of have a positive spin with it. But these guys weren't saying that as a compliment. These guys hated Jesus. These guys crucified Jesus. So the same way that you say, "Man, that person has been around some wild animals. They got a stench to them." That's the same thing they were saying about these disciples. That they have a stench to them. That they smell like Jesus. But the only way you get a smell like Jesus is if you spend time with him. See, the religious leaders couldn't deny the healing, so they decided to prevent further damage, so they decided, okay, we're going to silence these guys. But look at verses 19 through 20. Some of my most favorite verses in all of Scripture. It says, "But Peter and John answered them, 'Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. We cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard.'" Brothers and sisters, when it comes to obeying civil authority or God, we must choose God. Are you with me, church? This is a lively bunch for Celebration Sunday, I'll tell you that much. The time is coming, if it's not already here, when believers will be making choices. That we will either obey God or we will obey a government. And brothers and sisters, the Bible says, as clear as a night sky here in Tucson, is that we do not compromise the Word of God. The disciples refused to compromise this message. I don't know if we have the picture up there or not. There was a picture from Tiananmen Square. I'm not sure if we have it or not. It was supposed to be there, but if it didn't get there, you've all seen it before. It's the picture of a There he is right there. That'll make it a lot better than how I was about to describe this picture. And y'all have seen this picture before, and I won't go into all of the history behind it, but there is one man in a host of tanks standing for what he believed was right. And brothers and sisters, this is the type of faith that Christians, that this church needs, is believers who say, I don't care what anybody else says, that God has commanded me to be faithful in sharing His gospel truth, and I will not compromise it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we know their story. They said that you must bow down before the golden image, or you will be thrown into the fiery furnace. And they said, we will not bow. And brothers and sisters, we need courageous, bold faith if we're going to reclaim our culture. People says, we will not bow to the idols of this culture, that we will lift up high the name of Jesus Christ, and we will not compromise this truth. We boldly proclaim that there is salvation in no one else. But look at verse 21 through 22 with me. And it says, and when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people, for all were praising God for what had happened. The man on whom this sign of healing was performed was more than 40 years old. Brothers and sisters, boldness blesses. Boldness blesses. I'm not encouraging you to be courageous and bold so that you can feel better about yourself, so that you can exalt your name. I'm not concerned about that, and God's not concerned about that. You see, but boldness blesses other people. When we have brothers and sisters in Christ that have a spine for the Lord Jesus Christ, then and only then will we start changing our culture for godliness. Boldness doesn't mean yelling or screaming. It means sharing the gospel with a longtime friend, with a coworker that you're sort of acquainted with a parent you know who doesn't know Jesus Christ, who really knows who you are, knows all the bad things you did when you were a teenager. For a spouse who lives with you day in, days out, knows who you really, really are. That's courage. That's what we need. People who are unashamed to share the gospel. So brothers and sisters, can I encourage you, do not compromise. Share the gospel boldly. Share it boldly. Now we're gracious, we're loving, we're kind, but we share it boldly. But then look what happens in the rest of this passage, in verses 23 through 31. So when they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priest and the elders had said to them. When they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our servant David, our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why do the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His anointed. For truly in this city they were gathered together against you, your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness. And while you stretch out your hand to heal and signs of wonders and perform through the name of your holy servant Jesus, when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit they continue to speak the word of God with boldness. So briefly, point number two, pray courageously. Point number one was to share without compromise. And point number two is to pray courageously. After being released, they met with their friends and they had a prayer meeting. In verse 31, we see that the Holy Spirit's power was so strong in their meeting that the place they gathered shook. You see this a couple times in Acts. That the Holy Spirit's power comes upon them. And brothers and sisters, we cannot do what we want to do and what we desire to do through this church without the Holy Spirit's power. But the Holy Spirit will not work in us unless we are willing to ask Him to do it and then yield in every aspect of our lives. And then the Spirit of God begins to transform us. They continued to speak boldly the message of the gospel. Is that what you would have done? Is that what you would have done after being threatened by people you know just murdered your Savior? You get out by the hair of your chinny chin chin. And then you start praying and preaching the gospel again. Would you do that? Is the Holy Spirit so consumed in you that you could have that much boldness? So where does a believer's boldness come from? From your own fortitude? Maybe from your own mental toughness? No. One of our classic examples we go to in Scripture of somebody having courage is David battling Goliath. And that took tremendous bravery. But when we look at that story and we examine, David didn't have courage in himself. He didn't have confidence in himself. It came from Jesus Christ. See, David's courage was his confidence in God's promises and God's power to fulfill them. Brothers and sisters, that's where our boldness comes from. Not in my eloquence or your ability to coax people or your loving and caring nature. No. We have boldness because we know what God has said and God keeps His promises. Amen. And so when we tell somebody the gospel message, we can know when we've shared it with the power of the Holy Spirit, we've shared God's word, then we know without fail that that begins stirring and working in the heart of a lost person. Now, God doesn't always save people on our time frame. Amen? Amen? Some of you have been praying for lost people, friends, and family for a long time. And so have I. But you know what? We keep on sharing. We keep on loving. We have our courage and our boldness comes not from within, but from without, from Jesus Christ Himself. And look at verse 29. It says, Lord, in their prayer, they said, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue and speak your word with all boldness. That's a strange prayer to pray. What prayer would you have prayed when you had just been released from near death? Oh, thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That'd be my prayer. Right? And then it might have been, Lord, get a ship ready so I can get as far away from here as I possibly can. Maybe that would have been my prayer. I'm not sure. Maybe that would have been your prayer. Maybe you would have had the Jonah prayer. And boy, God says go this way and you went that way. No, that's not what they prayed. They didn't say, God, in this horrible, threatening strife, Lord, I'm trying I'm trying to have my best life now, God, and all these people keep trying to kill me. No. What'd they pray? They prayed for courage instead of relief. That's what the Holy Spirit can do. They prayed for courage. In these circumstances, knowing that God was working through them, knowing that God wanted them exactly where they were at, They prayed for courage, not for God to take them away from this very difficult situation. I'll share a quote from one of my favorite stories. It's a little bit longer, but just bear with me. Now, most of you guys know of Martin Luther, the great reformer, the one who helped turn the church away from the traditions of men and to back to a biblical understanding of salvation. And he nailed his 95 thesis on a door in Wittenberg, and he made a lot of people really angry. And so without going through all the history of it, ultimately he had to stand trial because he stood against the mighty Catholic Church, which was all bound up in the government. And he stood before them, stood before all the leaders who had the right to have him killed. Legally, they had every right to have him killed after he made his defense of God's word and his view of it. And this is the quote that he shared at the end. Some of you may have heard it before. So the prosecutor cried, "Do you or do you not repudiate your books and the errors in which they contain?" And this was Martin Luther's reply. "Unless I am convinced by the testimony of the Holy Scriptures or by evident reason, for I can believe neither Pope nor councils alone, as it is clear that they have erred repeatedly and contradicted themselves, I consider myself convinced by the testimony of Holy Scripture, which is my basis. My conscience is captive to the Word of God. Thus, I cannot and will not recant, because acting against one's conscience is neither safe nor sound. God help me. Amen." Now that guy had some guts. If you want more courage, you want more boldness, spend time with the Savior and trust Him. Spend time with the one that gives courage. The cowardly lion needed courage, and so do we. Proverbs 28:1 says, "The wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion." You see, friends, sharing the gospel takes guts and it takes grit. Sharing the gospels isn't for sissies. But God and the empowering of the Holy Spirit will allow you to do so if you'll simply yield yourself to it. As we move into the invitation time today, here is a challenge of God's word. Can I challenge you, men, to rise up, mighty men of valor, and be men who are unashamed to share the gospel message? I'm talking about old men, and we got some of those. Old men, say amen. Amen. There we go. We got some of them. And we got some young men. Amen? Amen. And both of you, and everywhere in between, are to share the gospel. I'm telling you, friends, it's not courageous to do all the things you see in movies and all the things that people typically hold up as brave and courageous in our culture. What it takes is a man of God who knows in a culture that despises Christ, said, "I am going to lovingly and gently share the gospel message with him." Will you rise up, man of God, to share the faith? Woman of faith. Young and old, I won't ask any old women this year. I'm not stupid, all right? But woman of faith, will you commit to boldly sharing your faith with the people that live across the street from you, groups that you meet with, young and more mature? Will you commit to sharing the gospel? You don't have to save people. You can't do it. But you have a responsibility to share the message. Can I encourage you, brothers and sisters, commit today to sharing the message of Christ boldly. No matter what happens, no matter the consequences, we're going to be faithful in what Jesus Christ has commanded us to do. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these people. Lord, thank you for the blessing that they have been to me. Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, your word is clear. It's unambiguous about what you want us to do. Lord, sometimes we lack the courage to do it. And so, God, I pray that in this invitation time, people praying in their chairs, maybe people are praying at the altar, but they are praying that you would give them supernatural boldness and courage to share the gospel in their schools, in their places of work, in their neighborhoods, in their families. And Lord, I pray for those in this room who may not know you, or that they would turn from their sins, they would trust you today as their Savior. It takes courage to come forward and tell a whole church that you need Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you continue to work that process in the hearts of people in this church. I pray for those who need to join this church and are praying about that, Lord, that you would give them clarity and wisdom and courage. Well, thank you for a Savior that's worth following after. Love you, and I ask you to say in Jesus' name.